Five Keys to Freedom and Love. In the following section, you'll hear some ways to support yourself and hold your own hand while you question what may seem unquestionable. Matching socks. Let's look at a familiar example of what people often feel as a desperate need. Your thought is, I need her to come back to me. And she has made it very clear that she isn't coming back to you. When you ask yourself, is it true that I need her to come back to me? Try these prompting questions. Is this what I really need? Can I know what is ultimately best for me? Am I going on with my life? Am I still breathing? Did I put on two socks today? Do they match? These questions will gently bring you back to the reality of the life you're living very well in this moment without her, even while you're thinking that you can't go on without her, that you need her to come back to you. They help you put to rest the childlike thought that your survival is at stake. The child says, "Who cares if my socks match when I have a broken heart?" Your answer is, apparently, you care. The proof is on your feet. This is very important to notice. The word need suggests a permanent state of mind. When you think, I need her to come back to me, you believe that you'll always be feeling that way. But if you look at your experience clearly, you'll see that there aren't any permanent states of mind. How many of your problems today come from believing a thought about the future? In the moment when you think that you need love, you're imagining future moments in which you'll think that you need love. You literally imagine yourself sitting, standing, or lying down somewhere 5 years from now and thinking, I need her to love me. It's a very painful thought. Scaring yourself with that thought is easy. All you have to do is believe it. Unscaring yourself is just as easy. You can do it in a few moments as you sit in your living room with your matching socks. First, notice the conjuring trick. Realize that you're summoning up that future in your thoughts. See how you're devoting this actual moment to that made-up future. Ask yourself the four questions about your assumption of what will happen in some future moment. 6 months or 5 years from now, I'll need her to come back to me. Is that true? Can I absolutely know that it's true? Can I even know that I'll want her? How do I react when I believe that thought? Who would I be without it? Then turn the thought around and find three reasons why each turnaround may be as true or even truer. Options come quickly to an open, fearless mind. You can make it without your fear. Some thoughts seem too frightening to examine. Thoughts like, I couldn't make it without you, or if my children died, I couldn't go on living, can terrify you, and then instead of asking if you really believe them, you might push them back down or live as if they were true and, as a result, feel anxious without knowing why. This section explores some of the reasons you might block your own inquiry. Most people have someone or something in their lives that they think they couldn't make it without. You might take all kinds of precautions to avoid losing your husband, your child, your money, your job, your home. Usually, the precautions include worrying a lot and placing limitations on the people you love, trying to keep them out of the trouble you're afraid of. Sometimes reality steps in and takes away what people think they couldn't bear losing. In fact, they survive. When the worst thing that could happen has happened, people will tell you, if you dare to ask, that living with the fear of it was more painful than the actual event. Often their friends and relatives had a bigger problem with the event than they did. Here is one woman's experience.
When my mother was dying of pancreatic cancer, I lived in her bedroom and slept beside her for 4 weeks until she died. I fed her and bathed her and dispensed her drugs. I cooked for her and cherished her. Her breath became my rhythm. We plucked our eyebrows and painted our nails, and we laughed and laughed. We talked about everything that was important to her, and we watched Oprah together. I never had a sweeter time with my mother. When people visited with their stories of how terrible it was that she was dying, I watched her become a cancer victim before my very eyes. She seemed to think it was expected of her. Everyone would be solemn and sad and hushed, a until the moment the door closed behind the visitors, and my mother and I would go right back to normal, receiving, giving, crying, and laughing and laughing.
People who live through it will tell you that their experience of loss was kinder than their beliefs about how it would be. Inquiry allows you to take the fear out of loss before anything happens to those you love. It also reveals the harm that fearful beliefs do to your relationship when everybody is still around and doing just fine in reality. And there is a huge benefit for the people close to you when they see that you realize that your life doesn't depend on their welfare. If you don't need them to stay alive for your sake, they are free to live for themselves.